Welcome to Souls Harbor Church. We're glad you're here. You can also join us in person at 2601 North Meridian in Wichita, Kansas. We have services at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. We are a place of grace and a Bible-believing Pentecostal church where everyone is welcome to come and experience God. On behalf of Pastor Clark and all of us at Souls Harbor, I invite you to come and worship the Lord with us. I know you'll be blessed. Now let's join the service.
Well, when I've gone the last mile of the day, that was a good song, wasn't it? Huh? But I'm looking forward to Jesus coming back. I'm looking forward to the rapture of the church. We're going through Revelation, and boy, that's exciting, and I have a hard time getting over in it when I'm preaching, but, you know, those things are going to happen next Wednesday. But we're looking forward to Jesus coming, but I'm here to tell you that he's already come once. He came, and that's what I want to talk to you about. He came. He came that we might have life and have life more abundantly. He came that he might seek and save the lost. He came to win boys and girls, men and women to his cause. He came to be the good news of the gospel. Hallelujah. Thank God that he came. I'm so glad that he did. I'm so glad that that Christmas morning, and you know, we read that scripture so much, why don't we read it through the week or through the year? I'm going to read it out of Luke 2. Get ready. And Luke 2, 8 through 14, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were afraid, and I would have been too. Can you imagine what it would be like there in that lonely hillside? You got a little campfire going, and the sheep are surrounding you, and all of a sudden the sky lights up, and thousands of angels are singing, and the glory of God. I think I'd have been afraid too. I'd said, feet, let's move. But God came, and they announced his coming, and they were afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Jesus came, hallelujah, which David, oh my God, thank you, Father, the city of David, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Oh, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Hallelujah. Isn't that a wonderful? Hey, we could quit right now. We've had church. Praise God. I tell you what, Jesus came to this world to seek and to save the lost. According to Luke 19 and verse 10, Jesus came that he might seek and save the lost. I'm so glad that he did. I'm so glad that he came and he found me and he saved me so many years ago. I'm glad that that happened. But Jesus came again and again and again into cities, unto residences, unto people, to win them to Christ, to call them. I want to read out of Mark 1:14 through 15. Jesus, after John had been put into prison, John the Beloved, no, John the Baptist, yeah. Okay, after John the Baptist was arrested and put into prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, number one, I want to put a number one right before that, the time is fulfilled. And number two, the kingdom of God is at hand. And number three, repent. And number four, believe the gospel. There are things that we have to do to salvation. Jesus said the time has come, the kingdom is at hand. We must repent and believe the word of God. We must believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that he died for our sins, and that our sins were paid for. We no longer have that death penalty upon us. Hallelujah, glory to God, we're free. Praise his wonderful name. Jesus is the Savior that is come as God's gift to men to share and to be the good news of the gospel. He is the good news. He is the gospel. He is the one that we love. He's the one that we praise and follow him. Mark 4 presents Jesus as a preacher. I want to tell you, anytime you're a preacher, you're going to be evaluated. Isn't that right? I don't like the way he preached today. He just getting on me for everything that I did. Somebody else said, man, that was a good sermon. And the same message. It just, people evaluate you. And they say, well, he did all right. Hey, Dennis, you didn't do very good. But last week, you really did good. Huh? Isn't God good? People are funny. People are funny. Those who minister will always be evaluated. Always. Always. Some accept and some reject. They always do it. Some even reject the gospel of Christ. Some say no. Some say there isn't even a God. How could they? When they look outside and they see this beautiful day that we've had today, the sun shining, the grass green, the birds are singing. Oh, how could they not believe in God? Romans chapter 1 says they're without any reason. I can't think of the word. I lost it. Somebody say the word. But they're without excuse. They know by seeing that there is a God, but they reject him. The prophets, for the most part, were evaluated and ridiculed and at least disbelieved. Noah comes to my mind. Think about the prophet of Noah. God said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. Noah said, what's an ark? He said, well, it's a boat. What's a boat? Well, it's a vessel that we're going to build, and it's going to float because it's going to rain. He said, what's rain? Never had rain before in his life. And so he started building a boat. People come by and they said, what are you building? Noah said, I'm building a boat. What's a boat? Yeah. Well, it's an ark. What's an ark? There's going to come a flood. They said, what's a flood? Yeah. Well, it's going to rain and there's going to be a great flood. There's never been rain before because you see, God watered the trees and the plants by a mist that came up out of the ground. It had never rained before Noah. People disbelieved him. This guy's lost his mind. And then we think about Jeremiah. Jeremiah, he was disbelieved. He was imprisoned. He was banished. Yet he was always faithful to God's calling. But people didn't accept him. People ridiculed him. People said, he's not right. Even Jesus himself was ridiculed and disbelieved. The people said, no, he's not the Messiah. No, he's an imposter. No, he's teaching a doctrine that is wrong. For years we have served God in this manner, and now comes this one who says, this is the way you serve God. And they disbelieved him. They didn't believe. None of you would judge Christ. Would you? No, not a bit. Yet many do just that today. Even today, people reject Christ. They reject the teachings of Christ. They change the word of God to fit their use, to fit how they want to live. They say, I can do anything. Hey, people move in one with the other and they say, well, they did it in the Old Testament and God blessed it, so it's all right now. I'll just take this person as my husband or my wife. That's not right. It's not. It's sin. Okay, let's get away from that. Let's examine the content of Jesus' message to those at Galilee. Mark shows that he had at least 4 points that he brought to Galilee. And I want to tell you, if Jesus taught these 4 points, then they must be very, very important. Because Jesus taught them. First, he declared the time is fulfilled. What time? What time? the time of the advent of his kingdom. He said the hour has come. The prophets had spoken of that day. God himself had established a time and finally had it arrived. Jesus came to this earth. He came in the flesh of a man. He became incarnate. He dwelled on this earth in flesh like you and I. And he lived without sin to show us the way, to show us that it can be done. Oh yeah, I know that we're weak. I know that we have an infirmity of the flesh. We have problems. But I want to tell you, Jesus was sinless, and he did it as a man. He did not do it as God. He did it as a man. And if he can do it, I'm sure going to try. The prophet spoke of the day of the Lord. They spoke of the time when Jesus came. They didn't understand what was going to happen, but they knew that God would make a way. They were saved by faith. Faith in what? They didn't know. Just faith in God. And they put their faith in him, and it was counted unto them as righteousness. Long ago, town criers would walk through the streets loudly banging a bell and saying, "Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. It's 10 o'clock and all is well." Why did they do that? They were announcing the time. People didn't realize what time it was because they didn't have a wristwatch. They had a sundial, maybe. And sometimes when it was cloudy, even that didn't work. But they announced the time. Jesus announced the time. He said, "It is here. The hour has come." The time came for Simeon. When Simeon was in the temple and Mary brought little Jesus in to have him dedicated to the Lord. And Simeon saw him and his heart began to leap within him. And the Holy Spirit came on him and he knew that this was the Christ child. And he knew that the time would come. The time had come, salvation for all men. And his response is found again in Luke 2, in verse 29 to 31. He said, "Now, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Listen to what it said now. I want to say that again. Verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Up until this time, Gentiles could not worship God unless they were proselyted to the Jewish religion. And then, and even then, they were second-class citizens. But now, Jesus came. It says, a light to lighten the Gentiles. I'm going to tell you that Jesus came. Hallelujah. Jesus came. Peter was laying up on the rooftop one day, sunbathing. I don't know what he was doing up there, praying probably. And there came a blanket down with all kinds of animals in it. There were lambs and cattle and hogs and fish of all kinds and all kinds of things. And God said, "Peter, take this and eat." He said, "Oh, no, 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 Lord. In all my life, I've never eaten anything that's unclean." God said, "If I tell you it's clean, it's clean." I want to tell you, when Jesus came, we became clean through his blood. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, praise God. What a wonderful thrill that was for Simeon when he saw Jesus. But I'm telling you, that thrill is still alive today when we meet Christ, when someone that doesn't know him suddenly realizes their need of salvation and they pray and God save their souls. I remember that day when it happened to me in May of 1955. I want to tell you, I went out of that church. I was walking 4 feet off the ground, jumped on my motorcycle and took off. It's a wonder I didn't kill myself. I was just having a great time, shouting and praising God and carrying on. What a thrill it is when we come into the presence of God. Have you ever prayed and you really got a hold of God and you can feel God just coming all over you, just surrounding you, and the hair on the back of your neck begins to stand up and all you can do is cry? It's so wonderful. It's so glorious when that happens. What a thrill when we come face to face with the Savior, as Simeon did. Better yet, going to be a better thrill when we meet him in glory. Oh, when I come to the end of my road. Hallelujah. I read the story of a man who was trying to win another man to the Lord, and the other guy was resisting. And finally, this guy in frustration said to him, he said, "If I can prove to you that God has a special day for you to be saved, will you accept Christ?" He said, "If you show me in Scripture a day that God told me I had to be saved, I'll accept Christ." He gave him a Scripture. In 2 Corinthians 6, he said, "I have heard thee in an hour, except in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." The man accepted Christ. He was true to his word. He said, "You show me and I'll do it." He met Jesus. Oh, I'm telling you, Jesus came. Now, the second thing that Jesus emphasized, and I've got to hurry and get on with this. I had some extra time, but I'll probably use it all up. The second thing was, the kingdom of God is at hand. What does he mean by that? The king has arrived, and the kingdom is here. Now, I want to tell you that nobody can enter a kingdom unless the king gives permission. Huh? He said, John 6:65, he said, "Therefore I say to you, no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by the Father." So we can't come to Jesus unless the Father says we can do that. And the Father says we can do that through the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit draws us and we come to Jesus and Jesus saves our soul. All this with permission from the Father. Oh my, Jesus is on the throne. Don't worry, we have an engraved invitation from Jesus Christ. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest." Oh glory. Hallelujah. "Fear not, little flock." Write this one down on your refrigerator. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Why did Jesus come to earth? So that we might have the kingdom within us. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? I love it. I love it. I could just go on and on and on with this, but I better hurry a little bit. Jesus also said in John 10:10, "I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." The kingdoms of God's rule on earth. And that's true. The kingdom of God rules here on earth. But, better yet, the kingdom of God rules in your heart. He's in here. He dwells in you. Oh, praise God. I'm told that when I accepted Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came to abide in my life. And if the Holy Spirit came in, then the Trinity came in. And I have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwelling within my heart, within my chest, within my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I have life more abundantly. You have that same life. Praise God. Jesus made a seemingly puzzling, if you take it on the surface, a statement to a scribe in Mark 12 and 34. Jesus said, "Thou art far from the kingdom of God," or thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Well, what does that mean? What is that? It means that it's here. It means that you've got it. All you've got to do is open the door, and Jesus will come in. Jesus will come in. "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." I believe Jesus meant you're not far from abundant life. You're not far from life eternal. You're not far from the kingdom of God. You and I are not far. In fact, we already have that life, abundant and free. Thank God who has we have repented and believed and accepted Christ as our Savior. I've only got 5 more pages, Pastor. Huh? It has been said there is nothing as essential to Christian as a sense of belonging to God. I want to tell you, and I've heard Pastor talk about the Clarks, but I'm going to talk about the DeWitts. We're about all dead now. There's not too many of us left, but I want to tell you we're proud people. And I'm glad to be a DeWitt. I'm very happy to be that. My great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather came over from Holland and was born on a ship and pastored in New York City. My great-grandfather came out of New York City to northern Missouri back when in the 1850s when there were wild Indians, and he rode a mule and I suspect carried a shotgun in one hand, a Bible in the other, and he rode a circuit preaching the Word of God. Later on, established a church there in that little town. My grandfather followed his suit, became a pastor, was a preacher, and pastored that very same church that his father had established, moved on down to Redding, Kansas, and established a pretty good reputation. I don't want to boast too much here. Now you're going to throw rocks at me, but he did. Mr. White, who was the editor of the newspaper in Kansas, in Emporia, Kansas, wrote a big article, front page news, DeWitt is dead. But I want to tell you, he's not dead, he's alive. More alive than he's ever been before. He's in heaven. And my father was a pastor. My father was a pastor. My brother's a pastor. My nephews are pastors. God is in my family. And I thank God for that. But the best thing I like is I'm in God's family. I don't own God. He owns me. There's nothing that I can do to make myself any better. It's just His love and His blood and His sacrifice and His grace that I'm able to call myself Christian. I'm able to call myself a child of God. I'm happy and I'm free. And if I'm a child of God, then I'm an heir and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. If so be that we suffer together with Him, that we may be also glorified. Glory to God. His Spirit beareth witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. And I'm proud to be a child of God. That's the best thing in my life. I know Jesus because He came. Because He came. If He hadn't have come, folks, we'd have been in trouble. We were under a death sentence. But He came. I don't even know where I'm at, and I don't even care. Jesus came. The third thing that He came to say was repent. Now, the first two were imperatives, or they were essentials. The time has come and the kingdom is at hand. But the second two are commands. Jesus said, repent and believe. You must believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. You must. You must repent of your ways. Mark 10:15, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. You must repent. Note this, if you will. If someone believes the first message of Christ, that the time has come and the kingdom has arrived, then repentance is a change of mind. Their reaction will be to repent. Second, they must repent. I asked a pastor one time Church of God, I think it was some off-breed Church of God, and he was talking about the Lord, and I said, hey, wait a minute. I said, what do you think happens? How do you get saved? What happens when you meet Christ? He said, well, you just turn around and go a different direction. I said, what about repenting? What about accepting Christ as your Savior? What about the blood of Christ being applied to your life? He said, I don't know anything about that. I want to tell you, we had a Bible lesson right there. Oh, God's good. Repentance is a change of mind. It's a change of heart. It's a change of attitude. But it cannot happen until two things take place. First, you must be dissatisfied with yourself. You must come to the realization that things are not right. And secondly, you must repent. You must tell the Lord, I'm sorry. It's not you're sorry that you got caught, but it's sorry for the things that you've done. Okay, going on. The fourth essential Jesus shared was believe the message. You must believe. Since the time has come and the king has arrived, we must believe the message. Soon after he issued this command, Jesus began calling men to follow him. He said in Mark 1:17, come unto me, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. And I like that. Praise God. I walked out on a gazebo and I looked down in the water and there must have been, I don't know, 8 or 9, I mean, carp this big. And I wanted to call Pastor up and said, I ain't coming. I'm going to go get my fishing pole. But I'm called to be fishers of men, not fishers of fish. Now I'm gonna start to close this. But whatever believing is, you must believe. Whatever believing is, or whatever it means, it involves identifying with Christ and becoming involved in his ministry. Every man, woman, and child that knows Jesus Christ is called to a ministry. You may sit in the pew and say, I don't have anything to do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Witness to your neighbor. Talk to your children. Talk to your grandchildren. Talk to anyone that you come in contact with. Talk to the person at the grocery store. Talk to the person at the counter when you buy your hamburger. Whatever, but talk about Jesus. You have a ministry. Jesus did not say, worship me. He said, follow me. Follow me. He does not ask merely for recognition and worship. He asks us to further his message. Two questions. The question is, are you willing to follow him? I know you've accepted him. I know you're seated here. I know you're Christians. But are you willing to follow him? Do you believe this message enough to share it with someone else? Stand to your feet. Come stand up. There are many who are lost and confused and wayward. They don't know the truth. They do not possess eternal life. They are not acquainted with Jesus. And so I ask you, will you help them? Will you help them? Will you introduce them to Jesus? Come and let's pray. We got 5 minutes. Come and let's pray. Let's pray and ask God to show you. Ask God to lead you in your witness.
Thanks for joining us here at Souls Harbor Church. We hope you've enjoyed spending time with us and hearing the Word of God. We invite you to join us live for the service and be part of all that God is doing here at Souls Harbor. Be sure to check back each week for our latest message. And in the meantime, be blessed in Jesus' name.